Welcome back to NALP's Young Professional Network podcast, growing in the green industry. Today's podcast is powered by our Young Professional Network partner, Steel. Steel makes a full line of gasoline and battery-powered outdoor power equipment for the demanding landscape professional. Find yours at steelusa.com. Your host of today's episode includes myself, Brett Lemke with RM Landscape, Macy Robinson with Landcare, and we have a really, really cool guest, Pam Dooley. Macy, how are you doing? Good life? So far, surviving the world?
We're surviving. Really ready for this three-day weekend ahead of us.
Amen.
Sleep.
Sleep. All right, well, let's bring our guest in here because I bet she's having an amazing right before holiday experience too. So,
yeah, absolutely. So we have Pam Dooley with us today, owner of Plants Created Landscape. Grew up as an athlete and plant lover and earned the nickname Plants from her teammates during her collegiate volleyball career years. She began working in the green industry at the age of 15, spending summers alongside her grandfather at the local nursery gardens and garden center. Pam's passion for the industry led her to a nursery management position in South Carolina and eventually back to Atlanta, where she went back to the University of Georgia to work on her horticulture degree. She started Plants Creative in 2005. Pam attributes the growth of her business to working hard, treating people well, fostering relationships with people who share similar values, and creating consistent and focused brand message and identity. Pam enjoys weekends in North Georgia, in the North Georgia mountains with her partner, spending summers on the lake and cooler seasons in front of warm fires with great friends. That sounds amazing. I want to join in on that last part.
Is that what you're doing awesome. This weekend, Pam? Is that where the weekend plans?
It is. Yes, very much so. And just thinking about updating that bio because I'm now married. So I guess I'm still a partner, but married to my partner. And I don't just enjoy weekends, but enjoy life in the North Georgia mountains. We made the move about a year and a half ago, full time.
That's awesome. That's so exciting. Congrats.
Thank you. Macy, you guys come up anytime. Brett, you come up. We love to host.
I got to go down. I'm up in the north, remember. So I'm going down.
Right. You got to go south. Down.
Yeah. I got some good old southern hospitality.
Yeah, I've heard it's beautiful up there. I've heard been to Atlanta, but I've heard that North Georgia is just absolutely gorgeous.
It is beautiful. Much different landscapes, much different opportunities, but it is beautiful in the mountains and the lake is equally as beautiful.
Is that
are you guys doing much business up there?
Yes. So that is the second branch that we just opened actually a year ago this month. So that I think, Brett, you're going to dive into that a little bit maybe, or I can talk about it now, really, whatever you prefer.
I think let's give a big perspective of the company and sort of how it came to exist. And I think for our listeners today, we thought we'd just dig into the branch models, the why, the hows, successes, challenges, and with Macy on here, and I've got a small branch like that, I think could be a fun thing to explore. And but first, tell us about the company and how it came to become.
Well, purely by accident, like so many others. And I had moved back to Atlanta in 2003 to take a position with a commercial landscape company, an account management position. And I was coming from a garden center / wholesale production greenhouses. It was a family-run business. I was there 7 years in South Carolina. And had this opportunity to move to Atlanta. And I knew the two things that I would have to learn were turf and irrigation. Hadn't been in my wheelhouse in my previous journey. So made the move and did that for a couple of years and then decided I wanted to go back to UGA and work on horticulture. And, they have some amazing professors there, Dr. Armitage, Dr. Durr, who doesn't know Durr's Woody Manual. So I really just wanted to take advantage of that opportunity. And being in my late 20s, I knew that I could not just take school opportunity without continuing to work. And so I decided to mow lawns. And so that's how Plants was created. And I was like, well, I don't have a name. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing here, but Plants has been a nickname, a very intimidating nickname on the volleyball court. And so that's how the business was born. I started it as Plants LLC. And then as we rebranded 6 years ago, we've definitely evolved more into just Plants Creative. And so, yeah, that's the journey. We are residential, say 95% residential with some high touch commercial opportunities. We do property care, we do design build projects, and we also have an irrigation division that is branded as Hydrate, and it's a lot of water management. And we also run our lighting and our audio systems through that division. So that's who we are.
So residential versus commercial, just what was that driver? There's always, and everybody's usually on two sides of the camp, right? Clearly Macy's influenced another way on that one.
Commercial so, all the way.
That's it. So maybe that's another debate we'll be having today. But Pam, what drove you to that residential market?
You know, I think I have always perceived, right or wrong, the opportunity to build stronger relationships with homeowners. And so that's just what I have found to be true for us. And within that, you know, so less price sensitivity. And that's how we recruit people. It is our pricing model that is more residential than commercial. So that really, I get asked that a lot, because I'll tell you, I've been encouraged to explore commercial, less so, I would say, over the last 2 or 3 years. Early on with consultants and peer groups and stuff, it's like, hey, maybe you could think about a commercial division. And I'm like, you know, I kind of feel like a fish out of water with that. And it's, I don't know, I feel like in the residential market, once you build those relationships, I'm not going to say that there's not any price sensitivity, but it has just always been less for us. We've never priced commercial work that we have competing against other quote unquote true commercial landscape companies. We just don't get the work. And I know that we're higher, and I just, you know, we just had to say we're just not really commercial landscapers.
Well, you're in a market that, go ahead, Macy.
I think it's awesome to like have that standard. I think there's so much, even like on the commercial side and some residential, like just a straight go out there and mow. It's so nice to hear that very high touch company where like those big like horticulture nerds or just like detail oriented people like have a spot to go do that and just make beautiful environments, like making Disney's at residences. And so I think that's just the difference. And like your customers are okay with that pricing and they're accepting it. I think that's absolutely amazing, because that's why we all got into landscaping in some form or way, is to create beautiful environments. And so I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's also about our purpose. And I think our purpose with it just being impacting lives, you know, for us, like impacting lives in beautiful outdoor spaces, like that just aligns to me in a lot more of a residential focus. And so, yeah. And there's also this other side of me that is like super creative. And I have, when I was just the 2 years doing commercial account management, just feeling a little bit boxed into a certain palette or a certain way of solving problems. And I have just found that in the residential, you know, you can't always, at least for us, do like these unique one-off projects. But I do just feel like there's a greater opportunity to just be creative in how you develop that space for them.
All right. So this will be a fun one. What is the most overused plant in both of your markets? Right. Pam, what do you got? What do you say is like the most annoying? See it everywhere. God, stop putting that in.
Oh, man. So they're beautiful right now, but like, I feel like Laura Petalum. I've just got to throw that out there. Laura Petalum is everywhere.
Macy, would anything stick out in your world? Like, if I have to put another one of these in?
I mean, I would say that I still use them a ton.
Oh yeah, right.
Because they do great.
We go with the flow, right? Yeah.
We go with the flow. They do great. Probably their red salvia, salvia grey, or red yucca. Those two are used a ton here in Texas. Yeah, because the salvia is semi perennial, semi evergreen here, depending on our winter.
We were, before we really couldn't get in, barberry was like the cursed plant up here in every commercial property. And now I like the plant, but we're using Nepeta encampment way too much. And just seeing it all, everybody just says, oh, it's so easy and it grows and it's commercial, like bulletproof. But man, it's a little obnoxious where we're seeing it now. So, all right. So that was to their point, Pam, the creativity, right? When you go in and, as you know this, you get a large bed area for commercial properties, you just mass them. You just say, mm-hmm. you're going to go grasses with an evergreen, you're going to go boom and done. And both of you have signature properties that are offering beautiful creativity on both ends. And, but there is, and there's a space for everybody. In residential, commercial, there is always somebody that will find their niche of it and the scales of projects. Some of these residentials are basically commercial properties, right? And it's just amazing where they can, everything can grow too. And you're in a very unique market within Georgia, and you have a branch in the Atlanta area as well, right? So that you're in the Mecca of commercial world, but to have the discipline to stay away from it, but you also probably have some really great residentials piece to keep you busy.
We do. And I just think it's so important, again, for me and for Plants Creative, like we just have to identify what we do well. And we just don't do commercial well. And I have never figured out how to do commercial and residential well. You know, I know it's, again, different palettes and materials, but also different people and different training and different priorities. And so, again, it's just never worked well for us, but you're right. Like there are so many gorgeous commercial properties and we also are able to work on some very beautiful residential properties. So, you know, very much generalizing earlier, but I just think our niche and what we do better and pursuing that is just what we try to focus on.
I would love to hear like one of your craziest stories, either like this crazy project that you did, or, you know, you had to like dig down into something, or this like $5 million state, like over your time working and like running your business, like tell us a crazy story or just something that was just mind blowing that you installed it or you maintained it. Cause those are fun.
So the one that comes to mind is one that, it was during, oh my gosh, when did we have the Atlanta floods? I'm going to say 8 or 9 years ago, maybe. And we were working in this really amazing backyard space. And it was a modern project. And we were cutting out huge slabs and forming concrete stepping stones embedded in the turf and just multi-size, like really big concrete stepping stones. And then the rains came. and the customer reached out and said, well, we need you to come assess our project. And I was like, okay, sure. How bad could this be? Like, we got some rain. And I show up and their entire backyard was 5 feet underwater. So like literally there was nothing left. Their home had flooded. There was, and I'm like, where's the creek that was here? And they're like, this is the creek. And so all of those form boards, everything had floated down the creek. And so like, I'll never forget that project. And you know, it makes me think about just being in alignment with what we do well, and those residential relationships. They were so kind to actually negotiate with us on, okay, what's going to be insurance? What are you going to pay for? What is fair? And so that's just one of those I'll never forget moments. And just, we had spent 6 to 8 weeks preparing that backyard to pour this massive amount of concrete. And, you know, that was also the moment that I learned about flood zones and 50-year floods and 100-year floods. That was an interesting one.
Never fun to be in those 50, 100. Oh, that's somebody else's problem. That's not mine. That's not going to be my year. No. Surprise. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Those kind of projects and the adversity of it, to be able to have that connection point. And, you know, and you have those with the commercial, there's layers of commercial, but it is this, the excitement of it, and to be able to solve problems. I think we all love solving problems for our customers, and we do that at any level. It just feels good. And if it doesn't, then I think you're in the wrong service, is what we do here. But when you're there helping those customers and then one assuring them it's going to be okay, because that a very personal stake involved in that project, I'm sure. And so, yes, I love the homeowner experience. We work with all the markets, the space there. And the conversations are longer and more engaged and deeper than they are at a commercial level. But there's we all have those fun stories and just crazy. So now let's talk about this branching model. So you pushed out to up to the north from Atlanta. Atlanta's where it started, and then build out for. What drove that that expansion?
So we have been going to North Georgia for 8 or 9 years, and I had taken on just a couple of projects here and there, and was bringing guys from Atlanta and just paying to put them up in hotels, but just really wanting to do these projects. And so, you know, during the pandemic, just really being reflective of, you know, life, like so many others, just reflective on what matters most, and where do we want to live? We can live anywhere. Like, we're, yes, I've got this business in Atlanta, but we also have tremendous opportunity in this second home market. You know, Blue Ridge has seen a lot of people like us who really just wanted to get away from the city and really just kind of disconnect a little bit. And so they're just seeing the development around us over the last few years, just decided we had two locations in Atlanta, and they were only 2 miles apart from each other, but we ran maintenance out of one and construction out of the other. So I sold what I call our flagship office in December of 2020, and just took that money and was able to purchase land in North Georgia, and have been building out our operational facilities there. And very organically, I mean, learning so much about septic systems and drilling for wells and, you know, all these things you don't even think about in Atlanta. And so, yeah, we launched that May of last year. So this month is 1 year for that branch, and we have a team of 10, and we have some tremendous opportunities on lake projects. And then there's also a community up there that has been named one of the top 10 golf destinations in the country. And it is new. And it is, again, they're selling lots faster than they can develop them. They're, you know, just a lot of opportunity. And we've been fortunate to get in on both the lake and that golf community, and get to do some really fun projects.
And so the branch itself is offer you a travel, solve that travel piece, puts you closer to the customer there, but you had to go, and did people transfer there, or did you have to go through a whole rehire through that space?
We recruited and hired locally. There was some overlap. We had three guys come from Atlanta for our first project late last summer. It was about a 3-month project, and they came up during the week and went home on the weekends until, like, as we could just build and recruit. And now those guys are back in Atlanta, and we have truly a local team built in Blue Ridge. We're doing projects, but we're also growing maintenance. So we have one maintenance flex crew, and then we have two dedicated construction crews. And so, yes, it did solve the travel problem, but it also, you know, if there's opportunity to work where you want to live, like if I want to spend my time and my hours in this mountain community on the lake, I'm very much like, well, why wouldn't I try to do that? But there were some challenges with it too, because it is my happy place. And it became my not so happy place last fall, which is something I didn't give a lot of thought to.
Right.
And I had to kind of recalibrate that, just kind of be present and just think about all the reasons why it is my happy place. And it's nature, and it's where we live. We live literally in the forest, and just taking that time to wake up and appreciate that instead of waking up and thinking about all of the problems that I have to go solve for people. So it was a little bumpy, but it's good now. And I have a good manager who also takes a lot of the weight off of me and allows me to do more of the business development.
Yeah. Well, that's you, Macy, in your world too, right? So as you, as the branch manager, and there's a couple branches in your market with Landcare, and what have you found is the value of the branching model in within the market space?
I think it's even better since we've added the third. We started the third branch January of this year, but there's always somebody who can do something. I think that's the thing about landscaping, is not one person is good at only one thing, like finance wise, like, oh, they can only do this type of sheet. Landscaping, everyone's got a little bit of knowledge, people bounce around. And so it's really nice having the branch model, like having your account manager, having your production manager, and just the levels, so you know where to shoot it off to. It's like, hey, can you handle this? And I think also, you know, to what Pam said, I think a lot of it's learning to delegate. Like, you know, she said she has a manager that she trusts now, and she can focus on the business development side. And it's finding those people and finally like giving away, especially when it's your baby, it's your company and your branch, like stepping away and be like, hey, can you handle this? And like, you know, I'm going to work on this. I think it's the hardest part of management is delegating and stepping away, because somebody else can do it. You have to trust they can do it.
So it's an interesting too, three branches, but from a geography standpoint, how far apart are those branches from each other?
Probably each of them are 30 minutes. So I'm the farthest east, and then the middle branch is 30 minutes from me. The Fort Worth branch is probably 30 minutes west of them. So we're very methodically placed out throughout Dallas, Fort Worth. So there's a Fort Worth, a central, and then I'm Dallas east.
And markets dictate at that, I'd imagine, right? The densities of it, the opportunities, and any, even that 30 minute commute or being more present in the opportunity, just better value to that. Versus people, I think we have a branch that's 2 hours away, like you do, Pam, right? And we thought that that's like, well, we can't travel that commute that piece. But then here's basically, well, we're not even willing to go 30 minutes beyond, you know, another branch having to support that piece there. And there's a lot of strategy involved in that.
Yeah, a lot of value towards each truck and trailer. You know, does it make more sense to just have a truck and trailer parked somewhere on a gravel lot, keep it loaded up, especially if it's an enclosed trailer? Like, that's a lot of the things that we think about in planning the next branches. You know, how much dollar value do we need for that branch to have, or even just that satellite? That's how we step into the satellite branches, which sounds kind of like how Pam started the North Georgia, is like maybe a mini satellite, and now it's full blown. But it's all about dollar value per truck and how much time are you spending up there per week in that area that makes more sense.
And I think for us, you know, like we're in the Atlanta market, and I know that there is a whole lot of untapped opportunity here for us. I know that there is a greater market share than what we currently have, but you know, I don't know if Dallas is in any way with traffic similar to Atlanta, but there's just so many uncontrollable factors, and it's unbillable windshield time, and it's accident exposure. I mean, it's all of these things. And so our Atlanta branch is really, really dense, and we get calls and opportunities to even go, you know, people are like, we are literally 14 miles away from you. And I'm like, but you were 50 minutes on a good day for us to get there. And so, you know, I think us staying as dense as we have and just really being committed to serving in town Atlanta. You know, I know that we've given away, or, you know, not taken advantage of a lot of opportunities to get outside of Metro Atlanta, but it also, it works for us, and it's a little bit more controllable. So yeah, that works for us.
Yeah, such a good point. Like, it's been times that we've bid jobs and we'll bid it for, but you know, we're telling them we're bidding for the time that we're sitting in the truck. Like, we have one in our Tulsa market that's pretty far away, but it's a great job, but it's pretty far away, and they need, you know, a bigger commercial company to take care of it. So we make the drive, but you know, they get charged for the drag time. And most customers won't do that. They're like, no, I'll just find somewhere else. But there are the specifics that's like, okay, we'll pay for the drive time. And then, like, obviously, like, fuel. And right now, how fuel is, those are the times that it gets really hard, all this windshield time.
I think both of your companies show nice discipline, and, you know, and Pam, and your story is just managing that discipline and the value that's had. Neither, I mean, there's no such thing as a stress-free day, right? So even if you got all that figured out, there's going to be another pile of something to dig into, but it is those opportunities. And I'm reflecting on the major markets, as I'm from a smaller market, and we will spread ourselves out. We'll be willing to, but the objections to traffic and then workforces, all those things, all those away on each person, every listener here, how do you build your business? But any day that you can really be true to yourself and understand what you are and you're strong at an emerging business or even a large business, that will be a benefit to you. And I forget that plenty of times over, right? Because every opportunity comes by, I'll think of, okay, I think we could do this. What's an hour away? What's this? And then find out later, like, that was a bad move. That was really not good for us. What are we supposed to be doing here?
Oh no, we all do that. You know, when you're in the people business or the service business, you have those opportunities to say yes and no every day. And we still say yes to the opportunities we should say no to. I mean, it's just part of being an entrepreneur and a small business owner. And, you know, something else that we really try to leverage, and especially our maintenance side, is just utilizing some of the technology that exists to keep us off the road. You know, whether that's the controllers, the irrigation controllers that we can manage from our phones, or, you know, the auto mowers when they're not throwing error messages and need to be reset. You know, we know that the lawns are being mowed, and we can manage those remotely. So we're always looking for opportunities to not have to run out to that property, because it, even being as dense as we are, is 2 hours. It's just 2 hours. You just know you're going to lose 2 hours.
Wow. Yeah. That's the same for you. I'd imagine you have that same congestion.
It's absolutely crazy. It takes me 20 minutes to get to work in the morning. It takes me an hour to get home in the afternoon. So it's just, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, they clearly captured you at the office longer than, didn't they? Good strategy. Get you in early, but you'll never be able to leave. So
yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much. Good move. You must stay. You must stay later. Now, Pam, I'm really interested. You know, you talked about the technology piece of it, like staying up to date on that. But design wise, because we do construction, but it's not high-end residential or these big, huge projects with hardscape, plantscape, everything. How do you stay up to date with design techniques? Are you learning from architects where you're bidding their jobs? Do you look at stuff when you travel, just going around Atlanta? Like, how are you staying? Are you, know, NELP stuff? Like, how are you staying up to date on designs? And what would you tell the listeners? Like, check this stuff out.
Yes, yes, and yes. you know, when I am in the mountains, like I joke with the team, but they know it's true. Like, I love rocks. I love boulders. And so getting to be in the mountains every day, it's just like and also driving by other really beautifully landscaped properties, you know, I'm always paying attention to that. And I'm always looking for suppliers that, you know, like I have this idea of the kind of rocks that I want to use. And I know it sounds crazy, but not all rocks are created equal. So just finding those suppliers that know who we are and the kind of work that we want to do. And then, you know, having them have availability for us. And, you know, also NALP is always just the networking with at various events throughout the year and talking with designers and just what they're doing, you know, something that we're really interested in starting to explore, who one of my managers has a passion for, is virtual reality and really growing that side of our design opportunities. So that, you know, our tagline is putting you in your landscape. And I'm like, oh my God, how much easier would it be to put people in their landscape with virtual reality? And so just really, again, trying to just really evolve the how we do things, you know, and just make them more efficient. Look, maybe we don't go to this design consultation, and it's not anything that people aren't already doing, but when you're residential, there is that dance of, you know, FaceTime and computer time, and just really navigating that. But just really we're looking at, okay, if we can grow into this virtual reality design, and then, you know, we can show up to people's homes or have them show up to us and show them their property, like, and what it's going to be, and have them go, you know, can you move that fire pit 2 feet to the left so I can see the lake a little better? It's just such an interesting technology that we are. So yeah, kind of went off a little bit there, but that is something that we're very interested in exploring. Again, just about trying to be more efficient and trying to just provide greater value for our homeowners.
That sounds so cool.
And that grass doesn't grow at all. It always looks nice. And so maybe they just, maybe I'll just buy the VR landscape and you can keep the other part. Well, it shows testament to, you know, what was a landscape plan doing for us many years ago to now. I mean, now the 3D modeling that live or just still forms, and that was really popular, but it jumped quickly to the VR world. And so that anything that could create more interactiveness and it helps. I think in the residential world, visuals are key and really, really essential to help people understand what they're committing to and really be able to get that, especially as projects grow in scale and budget. Anything you could do to get really excited about at the beginning that makes the whole job easier rather than, oh, I thought this was going to be bigger statement, right? Which is never fun at the midway or halfway through on the piece there. Oh, absolutely. That's how big that rock is. I thought it'd be bigger.
Yeah. And how can people say no to that? Like, how can they say no when you put them in their landscape and show them what that vision is, you know, and with gaming and technology and just the metaverse and all that stuff that's happening in our world right now, like it's there, the technology is there. So yeah, I know I couldn't say no if you put this headset on me. And I mean, if I'm being shown a warm, sunny beach, I'm like, where do I pay? I want to go there.
I will sign me up.
I will find the money. I don't have it, but I'm going to find the money and we're going to do this project. Right. That's it tags the emotion involved in residential, how to manage the emotion, how to build on it and lean it into your favor rather than have it go the other way. And you could do that. And emotion will raise budgets, get people to say yes, excite people there. And so to be able to really put that in a strong favor versus, you know, again, you know, it's not a verse, but as you conversely go into commercial, there's practicalness, there's time, there's budgets, all those things come into play. Even well, I guess, does the business want it? So it's a completely different sell piece to it. But that when you get a homeowner excited and you leave that and you're like, I got them. They're in. We're totally doing this project. And they just told me they got to figure out where to find the money.
That's the fun part, you know, like that's the fun part. Just getting that vision aligned and just getting that emotion. And again, I think that is why we do another reason for the residential side, to your point, like the emotion of buying, everything's emotional. So
I guess out of the three of us, I'm going to say Pam is probably the most busy with the holiday coming up. That emotion is probably pretty high right now. I've got the parties, I've got this and that, and they're looking to you to make it all work. And you've got what, less than 24 hours before the weekend begins. So hang in there with that one.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is in a second home market, you know, so yes, the Atlanta team, I'm sure there's a flurry of activity right now. But the second home market, when they roll up Friday at 2:00, the very last thing they want to see are the landscapers. So it gives us the opportunity to be off of those properties.
Yeah. That was last week and a couple of weeks before. Better get them right. And then, then let's just disappear.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's figure out what's going on in everybody's world as we head into this busy holiday. But Rosenthorn, so Pam, it's pretty simple. What's going really well? What's not so well? Personal, professional, whatever comes, inspires you to discuss. We'd love to hear it. So, Macy, why don't you show us what's your Rosenthorn?
Rose is, we had like a cool front come through this week in Texas. It's been 60s, 70s this week, which is crazy for almost June. It's normally, you know, 98. So that's just been really great, really refreshing. We're installing some flowers this week, so couldn't have asked for better weather. We got some rain to water them in. So it was just one of those like perfect situations. Thorn, I don't really think there's anything right now, you know. I always talk about how great labor is, and I'm short a driver right now. So I really jinxed myself on that one. I guess it's my thorn is trying to find a driver. So if you're listening to this and you live in Dallas or Garland and you want to come drive a truck for Macy Robinson, shoot me a call.
Yeah. And come up to New York and go to Atlanta. Right. So we all will take, just, you got options, folks, but start with Macy and then figure out.
Macy, I'll come for a week. I'll come help you for a week. I'll drive that truck.
Oh, you know what? That would honestly be awesome.
That would be a conversation. If you had to make a crew of five for a maintenance team of the industry people, who would you want? Right. And so that would be, but we're all going to think of, like, you know, our peers that have run business, and I'm going to say none of them, because they're all just going to point at somebody else. Well, somebody else is going to have to do this. I'll handle the strategy here. No one's going to actually do the damn work. So right. Not a one of my friends at all, but like, well, but I would, yeah, just get on the mower and just go. That'd be the happiest day right now.
Oh, right. I will say it's nice though. The bigger trucks are nice. We've been running 4-man crews because of COVID, like trying to keep people spread out. And so we've just been putting more people in. We're fine now. We're clear from like our COVID restrictions. And so now we have 6 guys in a truck. Like, I don't even remember. Like, it's been so long since we've done 5 or 6 guys in a truck. This is great. I love it. It's awesome. It's been so long since we've done it.
Little thing.
Maybe you need to go back down to 2 and get some of those crews and driving that other truck.
we're here to solve your problems, Macy. Just let it
I'll
go.
Take them down to the DMV to get their license.
You're up, buddy. Time to go. How about you, Pam? Rosenthorn?
You know, I think the rose. So I think this, you're asking for a win here. And I think you know, I have to say that both branches are rolling along. The Blue Ridge branch, having the strength of the manager that we have there, like, we're rolling along. Again, not without challenges ever. And Atlanta, we've had, I'm going to tell you, like, late April, early May was really tough. So losing two account managers literally on the same day, heading into spring on a residential focused company with 450, 500 customers and losing two account managers. That I would say that has been the thorn, but we have had tremendous interest and we have hired two amazing people that were getting onboarded. And so that's why I looked at Atlanta and I'm like, okay, that's also a win because it's been rough on the team. You can feel the energy, the stress, the weekly check-in scores, you know, all of it has just been rough. But I think we're seeing a light and I'm really super hesitant to say that because every time I do, a wheel falls off. But so hopeful. And so, yeah, that's what I've got.
I think things come in threes. So you just got to we all mentally check, well, did we just have three bad things happen or do we just have three good things happen? That'll dictate the weekend ahead of us here. So for some reason, we're all in the same boat, right? There are the days that we wake up and you plan it and it goes the right way. The days that didn't go the right way and surprises that are both good and bad. I love the business for those reasons. And then it stresses me out just for those same reasons. And so it's amazing how our rose and thorns can often just be the same thing. It's like really pretty annoying plant. And I'm right there with you all. We get through this weekend. We are, you know, we notch one milestone, big milestone off through the company. And we're finding that point to where we're getting a little bit more focused and we're building the team. So we're finding good opportunities to interview, which was very helpful. And so that's good. I am in need of a couple of drivers too, Macy. So we'll hit that together. And I'll get up into the woods and upstate New York. We'll go up to the Adirondacks, where our favorite place with the family this weekend. So all those things come together well. And then Tuesday we'll come back and there'll be back to the realities of what we're here to do and get ourselves to the 4th of July. And we'll make it, maybe.
The chances are strong. Tuesday we'll come back to a thorn, right?
Oh, yeah. Really big one.
Turn into an opportunity.
Yeah. So Tuesday just got transferred to a Monday, basically, right? So it's I wake up every morning like, I just want to jump right to Tuesday because I can handle all this better on Tuesday rather than Tuesday. Never works. Well, thank you, Pam. Great stuff. Great story. Fun conversation today with both of you, Macy. For our listeners, thanks for listening. Please share, pass it along, and we wish you all a wonderful holiday weekend. Take care, all.
Bye.